views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be in your time zone listening this morning. I thank you for listening. This is your illustrious, thankful host, Andrea James. You have tuned in to Today's Entrepreneur, and I am so excited that you tuned in today. And I welcome all the first-time listeners. Hopefully this won't be your last time listening. Hopefully there'll be something that'll catch your ear today. But as I always say, I want to thank God for waking me up this morning. He woke me up early. He woke me up in my right mind. Mommy, Daddy, ancestors got an internet radio show. And that's a prime example of live your dreams and never give up. And I believe that's one of the premises of my awesome guest today, who is Tia Walker. I have no words. The day that I met her at a conference last year, and I was so impressed with her. And while when we went on break, she was over in a corner on the phone taking notes, and at that point she caught my attention. And at that point I didn't have an internet radio show, but now that I do, I'm glad that she is on with me. She is a business coach. She is the name of her company is The Inspired CEO, and I personally cannot wait to hear this queen's back story. Miss Tia Walker, are you with me? And good morning.
Absolutely. And good morning to you. What a pleasure.
Yes, yes, yes. It's you really impressed me with the way that you carried yourself, very professional, the way you just do business, which is phenomenal. We've talked several times over the holidays, and each time I talk to you, you're somewhere different. I understand that you're on the road this morning, but wherever you go, you're handling your business, and I pray that you're out, that your safety is on the road this morning while it's wet here in Southern California, and it's an awesome, awesome day because you have sunshine, because you're that type of person that exudes professionalism, CEO standard, and the people and the businesses that you incorporate into your business, they come away better than they were before they started. So, my queen, please share with us, my listening audience, your backstory. How were you first inspired to create The Inspired CEO?
Well, you know, it's interesting when I think about that. I have to say it really began pretty early on in that I grew up in a very entrepreneurial household. My dad was a builder and an architect, and I grew up on construction sites and watching him taking like raw material from its simplest form and creating these amazing homes and extraordinary structures. So, you know, little did I know down the line that that would have a big influence on my life. But I remember playing at his drafting table and using his templates back when that's what they did. And it really did profoundly influence my life now. And my mom was a huge nurturer. She was a private duty nurse, and she enjoyed helping them, the elderly, and just had a real heart to help others. And that absolutely has been passed down. And I appreciate being, you know, brought up in a household where truly there were no limits. The kind of funny thing is that on the flip side, like, it didn't even occur to me that this was anything different when I was growing up. And that was that my mom, even though, you know, she was a nurse and all of that, she actually was one of the first African-American women to receive a license in contracting. She used to build everything from our beds to dressers and all sorts of things. And so power tools were her friends. And other moms do that too. So that was a really big, you know, influence, I think, really, really early on. And then, you know, what's funny is that both my brother and I were definitely, you know, raised with that, you know, no limit and no boundaries. And quite often we're the only minorities in many situations, and yet, you know, never took it on as, you know, there was anything different or there were any limitations. So that really did mold and shape who I am today. And I think that's why I share that history, because I think if I didn't have the parents that I did, things could have been a lot different. So even those people who don't have parents who, you know, were taking that hands-on approach like that and setting those examples, you know, there's others that we can look to. And that's my desire, too, is to share some of my journey so that there's some small inspiration that someone gets or something that they feel empowered to do in their life, because in my life, I'm good.
Well, let me just interject before I forget. And today's subject is Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. So just go ahead and continue. You're living. You sound like you are living your wildest dreams. So in order for you to teach other people how to live their wildest dreams, you're living yours.
You know what? I really am. I had someone ask me the other day, you know, it was at a Chinese New Year celebration, and they were doing vision boards and that, and I realized, you know, the S is always other things to aspire to, but I was like, wow, like, so many things that were beyond my wildest dreams I've lived already. And so for me, it's really not even like the next thing. It's more of, I think, being in relationship with people in deeper ways than just talking off, you know, another thing on the list. So, but I could say that, you know, early on in my 20s, I was really fortunate to have a woman that I met who was actually a global brand manager for DuPont. And she gave me a huge opportunity in that I literally hung out my shingle in my early 20s and contracted with them for a project. And from that project, like, so many other things opened up that I had no idea would happen at the time, but they ended up being a client for, gosh, I think over 8 years, and, you know, doing everything from product launches to some collaborative brand initiatives, co-op dollars, and working with companies like American Express and Gore-Tex and Levi. And then I realized, like, I just love marketing, which is, for some people, you know, it's like the thing that they hate. They're like, oh, gosh, I love what I do, but I don't want to, you know, sell or promote it to someone. And for me, I've always taken that approach that it's in the sharing and in the problem solving and offering solutions. So it makes it like a pleasure for me to create marketing campaigns for people and strategic plans. And so I found that I really love that. And then whatever I'm into, I just become a student of it. And I think that's what's opened up, you know, where the beyond your wildest dreams. At one point, I found myself, we bought a house in Pebble Beach. I was living in Palo Alto at the time and decided that I really wanted to live closer to the ocean, and did not particularly pick Pebble Beach. Actually, it picked me. I told a realtor what I wanted, and wanted to be close to the ocean on the Monterey Peninsula, not quite sure where, and got a call and ended up finding what was my dream property, not necessarily my dream house, and that, you know, I was brought up and I had actually done pretty well with real estate with picking amazing neighborhoods, but not the most expensive house. And so that's what happened again when I moved to Pebble Beach. And I can say that that move was a big shift for me. And it was a huge opening in other possibilities. And that was that, you know, I remember thinking, probably actually in my early 20s, that, you know, becoming a millionaire was like, yeah, this is like an amazing thing and something that I thought that I wanted. And then I moved to an area where it was like, oh, really, a millionaire? You know, it was like all relative. So it just opened up newer and bigger possibilities for me. And so I'm a really firm believer in those things that we desire, that we actually plant seeds on early on, even when we don't see our path to it. We actually plant those seeds so that they can, you know, come into fruition.
Well, for our listening audience, which they may think CEO means something else, can you explain the what your definition of CEO is?
Yes, well, I have gotten this, the reaction to, well, this is what I'm really about. Like, so for me, I noticed I work with a lot of, I think I was sharing, Fortune 100, 500 companies, and, you know, there's been for a very long time the structure around business and the way that we do the pyramid of CEO and employees and what the bottom line is. It's, I think, broken and changing. And, you know, for me, it was wanting to be a part of the solution. So when I started the Inspired CEO, the CEO meant conscious evolutionary officer. So for me, it meant people who held these responsibilities and really, I call it the joyful burden. You know, it's like, yeah, you're in this position of power, but it's also your responsibility to evolve your employees or support them in their own evolution, I would say. And so that's where the Inspired CEO came into being.
Thank you for that explanation. Let me just say at this time, if we have listeners that have a question or comment for our guest today, toll-free U.S. and Canada number 1-866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056, and you hit ** twice, and I'll notice you if you have any comments or questions. But that's just a marvelous way to start today's show. And just to go back, you said that both your mom and dad were your first on-hand mentors to show you what is possible. And I thank you for your mom and dad for them being your first, that they planted the seed in you earlier, and you took it and you ran with it, and you're a very successful businesswoman. But to have your first property at Pebble Beach, and then now you're in, can I say, Santa Barbara, and you're just living proof of being the conscious evolution officer in your own life.
Thank you. Well, you know, I think that a lot of people minimize the impact that they have. And then parents, you know, it's, we're never taught, like, how to parent. I mean, many people take it upon themselves to, you know, to want to be the best parent, but oftentimes they mirror what their parenting skills from what they've learned growing up. So to actually really look at the not only responsibility that we have, but also the opportunity that we have when we're modeling, even when we're not using words, behaviors to our kids. And, you know, I have, now my kids I'm doing college and one is out of college. And for me, you know, I'm not in that same role, but I feel definitely in a role of, you know, mentor. And then I think we all mother in some way to others in the community. At least that's something that I pride myself in. And that, you know, you just really, truly never know the influence that you'll be. So one of the things that that I share with a lot of the millennials that I work with, and I have quite a few that are on my team, and I noticed this with my parents too, and that is that, you know, whatever it is that they did, they were like, they were students of it. You know, it was really, they went into something with an expectation of achieving excellence in it. And so, again, that never occurred to me that I couldn't do something, that I have a tendency to dive into, you know, things that I'm interested in. I met a financial planner who really respected quite a bit. Actually, she was a broker, and she managed an account that I had for a number of years, and then one day she started telling me about options, and I thought, you know, that's interesting, and I ended up taking classes at the options exchange and learning more about it, and became quite a good options trader just from the opening and the modeling of a woman who was willing to, A, share her wisdom, and be encouraging and supporting, like, well, you know what, you're good at this, you can do this yourself. You know, we're most, I won't say most, but many financial brokers, you know, might, you know, want to manage your money themselves. But yeah, it was just this empowerment around that, and then occurring to me that, yeah, it's just, there's just information that stands between me and that very thing that I might want to achieve. You know, I had no idea, even when I started building fractional properties in Pebble Beach and on the Monterey Peninsula, that I didn't even know what a fraction was. You know, I had a client of mine that I went to a conference just in support of what, you know, his work and my own desire to learn more about what he was doing. And I discovered that there was Hilton and Ritz Carlton and Marriott were all there, and I know how much money they put into research and marketing, and I thought, okay, if they are doing this, I'm going to pay attention. And it opened up another world, you know, and the world of, you know, doing fractional property. So I think that, you know, the influence, whether it's parents or, you know, someone in the community, mentors, there's always that person and that information, especially now, you know, with the internet, that can not only inspire us to take that next step, but actually, you know, be that support system along the way. So, you know, I'm big on seeking mentors and life stories and asking people about, you know, how they achieved what they achieved, and always, you know, learn so much from that. I'm here, but I'm not quite sure if you're still hearing me.
Yes, we hear you, ma'am. Yes, we hear you. Andrea, do we still have you? Okay, give me just a second.
I apologize. I'm here. We have a caller named Joaquin. He's calling in from Van Nuys. Joaquin, do you have a question for our illustrious guest, Ms. Tia Walker?
Yes. Thank you, Andrea.
Good morning.
My name is Joaquin. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California. I have a question for your guest. My question is for the younger generation, or I would say for children that are growing up right now from less fortunate households, what is your advice, or what steps do you see that they should take in order to become successful like you?
Thank you so much, Joaquin. I appreciate that question. And you know what's interesting is I think about, you know, growing up and spending afternoons, you know, at my grandmother's house when my parents were working, and the sense of community that was there that I know is lacking, you know, for economic reasons. Our social structures have just changed, you know, and it's a challenge now to actually create that for yourself. But here's the thing, is that I realize that, you know, even someone who has less access to, we'll say resources, you would be surprised, and I'm always amazed because I work with a lot of high potential but low income young people from Head Start on out through Community Action Commission, for someone to actually be empowered with their voice to ask. You know, cause it's amazing what people will step up to and will actually want to support you in if you just ask. And so I always encourage them, if it's just one person, your teacher, if you're into sports, your coach, whoever it is, you know, that you actually reach out and then create a different relationship, a special relationship with them, and ask for them to be a mentor. And people are usually honored to do so. So the first thing would be definitely, you know, to ask. And then, you know, the other part is I share that, you know, I jump into things and a student of I mean, I read everything. And I think that there's a lot that our young people will change the way that we learn, the way that we do communication and through social media, and that it's just changed everything. So I think that young people today, like really, truly embracing all the resources that are available, not only with technology, you can be connected with people from all over the world who you may not know, they may not be in your neighborhood, but who truly want to support you. So, I mean, that's one way that I think using social media to the advantage of some of our young people, where they can reach out and actually find people who have like interests and be encouraged and, you know, get information and support. So, and, you know, I would link up with a lot of the social, like Boys and Girls Club and local resources too. But I just think really just using your voice to if it's one person that you identify that kind of takes you under your wing, and then also, you know, more broadly reaching out to groups and common interests. And I mean, there's even, it's kind of wild, it's, there's a group that are dorm room entrepreneurs, you know, they're in college, and they have this incredible network that they meet online. And I just think that reaching out through social media in a way that will enhance and be positive and supportive of who they are is a big thing.
Thank you, my king, for that answer. Thank you so much.
Yeah. One more question.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Yes. Some of these kids, you know, where we have a network, and we're interacting with some of these kids. And one of the things that we've noticed is that most of the kids, or even grown-ups out there, they don't actually know even what to ask. In your own opinion, what do you think their mindset should be, or what do you think they should be asking for?
That's a good question. And I know that, like you said, many adults even struggle with, you know, the what to ask. And actually, that's interesting. It's a part of what I was going to share around, you know, living beyond your wildest dreams. And that is, like, you know, until you really know what it is that is your dream, it's hard to get people to support you around that. So I think even just being clear and just taking time to sit down and really look at, what is it that I want? You know, what is it that I that I have a desire for, or a dream for? And then what would it take? Like, I start with the bigger vision, and then once you have identified that, just a very small step that you could take towards that. So when you don't even know what to ask, usually the biggest question is asking yourself. You know, it's like, what is it that I want? So if it's like, I want to go to college, for example, you know, what is it going to take for me where I am right now? If my grades aren't great, or I'm struggling in some way, you know, it may be that first simple step is to go to a counselor and say, you know, I need some support, or around, you know, taking notes or whatever it is. But identifying that very next thing, then you find little ways to ask, because you see your path to whatever it is that is that bigger goal. So, you know, I would start with that bigger goal, and that bigger goal also is sometimes the thing that keeps them inspired and able to even want to, you know, reach out, because it's kind of vulnerable, you know, to ask. You know, I had it too many years ago that, you know, oh, I could do it all myself. You know, there's a part of me that had that mentality that, you know, I'll figure out a way. And then I realized that, you know, that was hard, that was struggle. You know, there was a lot around that. So I think the more and more we look at ways that we can connect back in the community, because the bottom line is that, you know, we're needing each other more now than ever. So I think when they are empowered to know what, you know, and clear on what their dream is, or what it is their goal is or intention, then they can actually find the questions that is that next step to ask someone. I'm hoping that answered your question.
Most definitely. Thank you very much. Excellent answer.
You're so welcome. And it sounds like you're doing some great work in the world. And I absolutely applaud you, appreciate you. And let me know if there's anything I can do to support the work that you're doing as well.
Yeah, he's part of a program that's on Another Day in Time called Black Trade Lines. Which
wonderful.
Is awesome in creating, similar to what you do, and we all have our own niche. Are there some of the other companies, organizations, Fortune 500 companies that you have dealt with? And we're going to be going to a station break in about 2 minutes. So let me give out the call numbers again, which is area code 1-866-510-925 or 705-802-5056. We're getting ready to take a station break. Don't go anywhere. Just do that mannequin freeze right where you are. We will be right back.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with our illustrious guest this morning, Tia Walker, who it sounds like she creates CEOs. And some of the, before we went to a station break, I was asking you if you can tell us some of the other Fortune 100, Fortune 500, maybe Fortune 50 companies that you have developed projects for around the world?
Yes. Well, I mean, there are a lot. and I could say, so, I mean, from Share DuPont, American Press, Vortex, Platinum Gold. The thing that I can say, though, is that what I've been most excited about is not necessarily, you know, they're wonderful companies, and I've just been fortunate to do some really incredible projects. But the thing that I really take away from, you know, all of those companies is that, you know, there really is, I'm seeing a movement towards restructuring the way we do business altogether. So, I have a lot of my desire comes from wanting to go into corporation and actually bring it in a more feminine model. And that's more, you know, whether it's men or women, but bring in a model that is more connected with who we are as people first, how we collaborate and co-create, how there's like win-win situations, how there's power to versus power over. So, you know, as much as I have appreciated working with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, I could say I'm really thrilled and excited about a lot of the new emerging companies that are coming, or even some that are shifting, that are really, you know, seeing that they do need to be responsible to communities in a different way, that it just makes it, you know, that the only investment that they make is not, you know, to appease shareholders, but also that a community, you know, where we are the shareholders. So relationship capital being an important part of what they want to expand and grow. So I'm really excited about that. That's sort of my big shift is going from working with a lot of, you know, larger companies to really working with a lot of innovative companies, whether they're social enterprises or nonprofits who are open to taking a different approach to the way nonprofits have been run. Those are the things that are really exciting to me these days.
Thank you for that. It's I noticed that in your bio it says that you bring up the word solopreneurs, which I might be considered myself as a solopreneur, from nonprofits to solopreneurs. Can you explain, do you also, not only with the big corporations, you deal with solopreneurs as well? Not deal
Absolutely.
With, but
yes.
Partake your clients. Talent with solopreneurs. What is your definition of a solopreneur, and are you one?
You know what? I started out as one, absolutely. You know, consulting and contracting. And the coaching for me came in as a tool, because what I found was that, you know, someone would come in and they needed help. For example, I was doing a strategic plan for them. But I found out, like, in the process that they had all this stuff that was going on in their personal life that was really affecting the business. You know, so it was like, you know, here's how we actually take a more holistic approach and and look at the entire business and then address whatever it is that they came in. So that's where the coaching part comes in. But for the most part, you know, I consult with people. And yeah, so I started definitely a solopreneur. In that I was an entrepreneur who was a one-woman show, you know, just doing my thing. And I did I expanded out of that, and that I took on projects that, you know, I needed additional staff. So the nice thing about, you know, being a solopreneur, and I always, you know, I think that our way to really turn around and the biggest opportunity for those people, whether they are, you know, just struggling or really want to expand and then have, you know, something, leave a legacy, financial and, you know, contribution, is through entrepreneurship. I just feel like it's our biggest opportunity and most people. So sometimes, you know, you're starting as that one person with that idea, even while you're working, and looking for ways to, you know, expand out or to grow that, so that eventually that could be, you know, the very thing that sustains you, you know, financially. So, yes, I do. I do work with solopreneurs, and what I'm finding too is that next step that, like I said, I used to like, yeah, I could do it all myself, and I have a pretty, you know, big capacity for taking on, you know, projects and a broad skill set. So there's a lot of things I can do. But to me, when my business really took off, when I realized that working smarter versus harder was actually in hiring the people that I needed to support me to do the things that others could do, and then I could do more of the things that only I could do. You know, so that's when you're the creator and those ideas, and even allowing that space and time to expand or to really hold the space that you're meant to hold, you have to let go of other pieces, you know. So even if it's part-time, a few hours a week for someone, if they're helping you with your books or if they're helping you, you know, if you don't like marketing, they're helping you with your marketing. It's just supportive, and that's how you grow out of that solopreneurship into, you know, a fuller entrepreneurial experience. So I think that some people, you know, I definitely have had, you know, clubs who just want to, you know, earn some extra money, and they have their own businesses and they don't want it to grow big, and that's great too. You know, so I think it's like depending on what your desire is with your business, then, you know, you're going to look to what level of support. But, you know, usually there's something that we can release and get support around that takes us out of. And I call this slave girl, because I was one at one point in my business. You know, there's a glamorous side of entrepreneurship that, yes, it's wonderful and it's empowering. And the other thing is that, you know, essentially your clients are your boss. So, you know, you do work for someone, and to have a more empowered and solid foundation business, I think that, you know, we have to have some balance in our personal and our business lives, and I mean, with that, I just find that we need support.
Tia, on that note right there, I see that we have the world famous he creates entrepreneurs, not employees. And the world renowned TJ Lofton is on the line. Good morning, my queen. Well, excuse me. no, disregard that. Good morning, my illustrious king, the one and only TJ Lofton. How are you, my king? And welcome to listening in to today's entrepreneur. You have a question for our illustrious guest.
Thank you. I appreciate what you ladies are doing. And thank you, Ms. Tia, for coming on. I just saw the power and felt the energy. I said, I got two queens talking about business. I got to listen in. It's important calling in and say thank you for promoting entrepreneurship. That's all I want to say. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what y'all
I just
doing.
Want to say thank you. Thank you for what you do. Is creating entrepreneurs, which we kind of do. We're all doing the same thing, and it has to be more entrepreneurs nowadays, it's really not that hard. And I say it, if I can do it, anybody can. And it starts with the idea. You just have to put one step and one foot in front of the other. And TJ, that's what you do. Tia, that's what you do. And we just have to keep it moving. And I just want to say that TJ is going to be one of my guests in about 2 weeks. So he's just changing people's lives each and every day. And Tia, you're doing the same thing. So the both of you stepped out of your comfort zone. You stepped out on faith and looked to where you are now. And Tia, you talked about your first property in Pebble Beach. And for TJ's birthday, he and his younger sister were looking at property in Malibu. What's up with the water? Does that mean because we're at the water, we have
water?
We've arrived.
Calls me. Absolutely. Well, you know what, Sunny? So I want to say thank you too, TJ, for calling in, and I really appreciate that. You know, one of the things that happened for me, and I was seeing opportunities come up just from listening, and one of them was I ended up starting these awards, and the awards came out of just this very thing that you've done, TJ, and that is that acknowledgement of someone. So I feel like when we really are feel seen and heard, that it encourages us to then see and hear others. So I appreciate you taking the time to call in. Thank you so much for that. But Andrea, so to your question.
Thank you, TJ.
Your comment about the water is, so this has been a funny thing. So I actually bought my first property in my 20s in Palo Alto. So I actually owned several properties by the time I moved to Pebble Beach. But I ended up that very first, when we moved there, it seemed like I can't even explain it, where there was just this draw and call to the ocean and wanting to live near the ocean. So from there, I found, since I got to choose where I wanted to do things and hold a lot of my business retreats, oftentimes you'll find that they are places, you know, where there are beautiful oceans or seas. So it's taken me Bali, Hawaii, really cool places. So I enjoy the water, I enjoy the ocean. It's something that actually, for me, fuels my soul. And so that's why I wish you the best with your Malibu, with TJ, you know, looking for property there. Another beautiful area to be in.
Well, we're all living our dreams. And I want to say one more time, for those guests who have comments or questions, please dial in the USA toll-free and Canada 1-866-510-9025 or 704-802-506. One more time. 704-802-5056 and hit star twice, and I will see you in the queue and ask you to make your comment or question. And that person has done so. It's someone calling in from Pasadena area, area code 626 and the last four numbers 8639. Thank you, caller, for calling in. You have a question or a comment for our guest, Ms. Tia Walker. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
Hello?
You. Good morning, my queen.
Yeah,
good morning, my queen.
Good morning. It is so refreshing
Muriel
to
Hunter.
Hear.
Wow.
It is. This
yes,
is Muriel yes, Hunter,
yes.
An multipreneur.
She's been a past guest. Yes, she was one of my guests back in December. Thank you for calling in, my queen. What's your question or comment?
Thank you. Thank you. I have had a passion for most of my life, and it's inventing. And I had a provisional patent, I had a packaging, I had a product, several products, and it was stolen before I got it to market. And then I had another product. I went to a very well-known commercial for inventions, and they stole my product as well. therefore, I kind of got a bad taste in my mouth, lost a lot of money, and put that on the back burner. But where would someone go that is viable, legitimate, to just take their product to get licensed? Because I'm over the manufacturing and their production and the packaging, and it's a very large project when you don't have reliable people or trustworthy people that you can count on doing their part. Therefore, I have to consider it something that I can do primarily alone, and reach out to those that are professionals that do what they do, like the marketing, to get to the next step. But that has been something that I look at these infomercials and I see my ideas, so I'm in the same wavelength, and my dream fantasy is to hook up with IKEA and just be a part of the dream team and say, okay, let's do this. What would you suggest for someone who has the creative mind of seeing, fulfilling a need of an existing situation and making it better, making things more ergonomic, or bringing something new to the table?
Well, I think you hit it when you said licensing. You know, the talent is, and I can tell, first of all, I'm really sorry what happened, you know, with your ideas being taken. It's so not uncommon, unfortunately. You know, it happens all the time, unfortunately. The biggest opportunity, though, it really is, especially when you have an idea that you find someone who that idea would actually enhance what they do, but it's not in competition with it. And so I think, you know, those collaborative partners, and again, you know, some of those conventions, that's exactly what happens. I've had a few clients who've gone, and, you know, their ideas were, you know, were pretty much stolen. So, you know, really going and looking for opportunities where what your product or what your idea or concept would actually enhance something that someone else already has or is doing. So that would be my suggestion, because the truth is, you know, the amount of money that it takes to manufacture and even distribution, like, it's a undertaking. And so that initial, you know, partnering with someone could actually support you with the financing that you need to support some of those other projects that you have. I mean, I so feel your, you know, the desire, and it sounds like you've got an amazing, you're creative, and an opportunity to partner with someone who really has a complementary product would be the route that I would suggest going. You know, I mean, licensing deals are done all the time. The biggest thing, obviously, you have a good attorney, is, and you know, even though you sign NDAs, I do hold back until I know that the person, you know, it's a cultivating that relationship where there's some trust. And the other part of it too is that, you know, I now choose to work with people who there's a bigger mission. I'm finding when they have a bigger calling and mission in the world, it's less likely that you're going to run into those types of situations, because that's usually, you know, just bottom line greed, you know, versus, you know, someone who really wants to, you know, collaborate and co-create with you. So I would take it slow and getting into those relationships, but I think that would be your route.
Mm-hmm. What about doing a copyright instead of a patent?
I've done copyrights, provisional patents. Patenting itself was $10,000, and it was more than $10,000 just to get to that point. And when you are subtracting from your needs to make it happen, it's very difficult to keep moving forward without help. And right. Then when I reached out for help, they said, hey, this is a great idea. I've got a lot of money. Fight me for it. And I did check with an attorney, and they said that this is very common. And by the time you get done in court, you're drained. These are big people, and they
right.
can just keep take you in court for 10 years. Therefore, I just moved on, licked my wounds, learn from that experience, because whatever you do, it is not it's not the final result. It's you learn what not to do in the future. Those are just lessons. Very expensive lessons, but it's just a lesson. And now I know, okay,
that's the thing.
I really learning. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for your advice. And I feel like I'm getting revved up, and I believe the Red Cross are the people that would benefit a great deal from this particular product. Therefore, it's still on the burner, and I'm moving it. I'm turning up the fire. Thank you, and I'm going to jump off the phone now. It's my pleasure.
That's one of the reasons why I do this, so I can inspire other people to do what it is they do. And I'm not sure if my King TJ, if he had another question.
I wanted to jump in on the caller who just got off statement. And
sure,
if
I'm
it's
sure
okay,
she's still listening. Yes, please.
It's
go right ahead.
Because of all the theft of patents, trademarks, and copyrights, there is really nothing you can do, because we patent stuff here in America, but there's a huger market overseas, and we cannot afford to patent things globally. So if they're stealing from Apple computers and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and all the rest of these billion and trillion dollar corporations, why would we even think that we can afford to patent our stuff? So my point is, it's up to us to start manufacturing our own things. You know, it's not so expensive to manufacture as we think it is. That's why I started coaching people to show them. So when it comes down to licensing, we got to start setting up our own booths at the licensing shows, which the biggest show that I know of is one. There's one in Las Vegas every year at the Mandalay Bay. You literally can go in there, buy a booth. It's quite expensive, but you have everybody there that's looking for products to put their name on. Or to license.
Is that the trade show?
Yes.
The trade show?
It's a huge trade show at the Mandalay Bay. I was just there. I cannot even recall which month, but I was just there last year. Maybe it was October, June, something like that. But I tend to go there every year. And you have people like Disney looking for ideas, stuff that they can license. You have a lot of different people. So what I do, because I'm a manufacturer, those are the type of shows you want to go to, because you have people coming from all around the world looking for ideas. So if she has some type of IKEA made furniture idea, she literally can have it, you know, the blueprints or some type of color photos, and turn around and have people come to her and strike a deal right there on the floor, because you may have at least 10 or 20,000 people walk through there, all in the same mind of we're looking for products to purchase or to license or to share in investments with. So all her answers will be there. And then at the same time, they even have people there that helps to license, that helps to negotiate contracts. You know, but I would recommend this person. You know, anyway, that's a great idea when it comes down to licensing. But I strongly encourage us to learn the art of manufacturing, because this is where the jobs are created. Learn the art of distribution, because this is where the control of the product comes from. So these are the reasons why I started teaching these things. So it's very important that we learn these two things, because these are the things that make and break most businesses.
Thank you for that.
I love it. Good advice.
Tia, we're just to go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying, I think the licensing piece is something that's really important. Oh, go ahead.
We're just about at the end, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I want you to be able to have enough time to give your final comments and contact information. I tell you, an hour goes so fast that I'm going to have you on closer to one of your big events that's coming up in May. So if you're not ready to talk about that, if you are, real quick, but then also contact information, so my worldwide listening audience will know how to contact you.
Wonderful. So I can be reached at theinspiredceo.com, theinspiredceo.com. And my number is 805-635-8429.
Please repeat the number one more time.
Yes, it is 805-
635-8429.
Great. Well, I want to say that, Tia, you've done just a fabulous questions and answer this morning. I thank you for stepping out on faith and doing what it is that you do, creating CEOs. I thank you for all the questions, all the callers that came in this morning, and I thank you for those who are still listening worldwide. I am your host, today's entrepreneur, Andrea James, and next week, the subject matter is going to be Ginger Surprise. And this backstory is just, every time I talk to this person, it's just getting better and better. And for those who want to hear past shows, please go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, look up Today's Entrepreneur and podcast. All the shows from the first one up until today will be there. I want to thank again everybody that's listening. I have some good news, but I'll share it probably next week as to how the universe opens up when you just open up your mouth and continue to stay in faith. And in closing, breaking chains of poverty, creating bonds of prosperity, staying in the black by any legal means necessary, and that's financially. And we make history 365. See you next time.